The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Welcome back to our show. Michael Bratton from That SEC Podcast. Michael, what in the world's going on? How are you?
Hey, doing great, Paul. And I was afraid when I said the Tommy Reese hire there at Alabama killed the Nick Saban dynasty. I didn't know if I was ever welcome back on this show, so I appreciate the invite.
That's okay. Before we get to football, and it's, I mean, and I definitely want to get there because there's a lot to digest. What has been your reaction to this Alabama saga with the entire basketball program now, being literally obliterated by many in the national media?
Yeah, I mean, heavy topic, obviously, to open with here, Paul, and this is just one of those where I make a conscious decision never to rush to judgment. I know that's easy to do, to go out there and give your two cents on what Alabama should have done, what Brandon Miller should have done. I think I've been listening to you all week, and the opinions vary wildly, depending call to call, guess to guess. This is just a subject where I honestly don't feel comfortable without having all the information weighing in on it. So I'm just on the sidelines.
I don't blame you, by the way. I wish we had talked before the week began. Michael, let me get to the Florida situation, because I realize coaches come and go and NFL presents opportunities, but if you're not paying close attention, or if you are, it looks bad that three coaches have left. What do you make out of it all?
Well, I think I can sum up Billy Napier's season heading into year two. Vanderbilt at home is a must-win situation. So, I mean, that's essentially as dire as it gets for a coach that came in with much fanfare and apparently turned down many high-profile SEC jobs. And it's not a good look, obviously. Well, we got spring practice a week away, Paul, so it's almost like a rush to get some of these coaches in here. You expect that year two jump. Now you're going to have to be doing it with a new defensive coordinator and a guy that, while Alabama was pretty fired up to get Austin Armstrong, who's about a year older than Stetson Bennett, maybe a couple years older than that. But, I'm just left shaking my head here, Paul, because I think we have to reset the expectations now for Billy Napier going into year two. And that's the last thing Florida fans want to hear, particularly with Georgia dominating the sport, Tennessee and South Carolina seemingly on the rise. I think making a bowl game will be something that should be celebrated, a 6-6 type season. But that's clearly not why you brought Billy Napier in here.
No, and this is the University of Florida, which even after a couple of bad seasons still looks at itself as Alabama. I mean, you know this fan base, Michael. They don't settle for anything.
Right, and here's something, Paul. I don't know if you realize it. I've not heard it on your show, but, the NFL scouting combine, that's not a total indication of what overall talent you had, but Alabama leads the country. Georgia's right on their heels, number two. Florida is actually third most of all SEC programs. I think they're sending 9 players to the scouting combine, including Anthony Richardson, who some, for some reason, have pegged as the first overall pick in the draft. I'm not buying that, but just the fact that they have 9, maybe even 10 NFL-caliber players, where they had that many, and yet we went 6-6 last season, that's somewhat of a damning statement on Billy Napier and the roster turnover, obviously now the coaching turnover. That's why I think we need to kind of pump the brakes on expectations. Unless you got Urban Meyer coming back to town, I don't know how this gets fixed overnight. This may be a 3 or 4 year rebuild, and I don't know if that's what the Gators need to hear or want to hear, but that's what they need to hear right now.
Well, by the way, you may be right, and I think they have been remarkably patient, but it's also February. So patience goes a lot farther in the offseason. Let me get to the Alabama situation, because they were excited when they got Armstrong from Southern Miss. They thought that was a really big-time hire for Nick Saban, a young coach. on the defensive side of the ball. He's already gone. You rarely see that happen to Nick Saban. Give us some thoughts on that coaching staff. I know you alluded to it a few weeks ago, but tell us more.
Yeah, well, the fact that, correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, but Nick Saban had an open defensive coordinator position to fill this offseason, and Armstrong was not the hire. I know he got the co-title, but that's just purely for title's sake. I mean, he was a position coach, so I don't know if I'd be doing cartwheels if I'm the Florida Gators that we hired this 29-year-old. I mean, he may be the next Nick Saban for all I know, but the fact that more turnover, again, for Alabama, I just think it's laughable, Paul. Some of these callers you've had on your show, which I respect them greatly, they're you know, throwing dirt on Georgia's grave for bringing back Mike Bobo when they hired Tommy Rees, who I can't find a single reason to celebrate Tommy Rees over Mike Bobo. I think Georgia comes out miles ahead in that exchange. And then you're bringing back Kevin Steele, who I got a great respect for. Kevin Steele, he's been in the SEC for decades, but I mean, Miami's defense was god-awful. The entire program down there was awful. So I don't know that he's the answer. He's just going to be running what Nick Saban wants run, just like Pete Golding did. And we ran him out of town and blamed him for all our woes when we all know Nick Saban is in charge of the defense down there. So I don't see much changing for Alabama. And I don't care how many number one recruiting classes they signed down there. They signed the number one class 2 years ago, Paul, and the vast majority of that class is either exited or not made any impact whatsoever for the program.
I can't believe you said all that, Michael, but I know you did. Michael Braddon. Michael, I want to go back to something you said a minute ago, because a lot of my Alabama friends really have been emboldened by the Bobo hire. They think, okay, this is our moment. Are you telling us that's not the case?
Well, I mean, it'd be foolish, Paul, to sit here and say it's not a downgrade from Todd Monken, but I think that says more about Todd Monken, who I think at the time that was a questionable hire. He did a truly outstanding job, obviously getting Stetson Bennett to perform at his best at the highest moments, but also spreading the ball around. I know Jermaine Burton is a great example. I'm not going to be force-fed the ball, so I'll go to Alabama where they tend to do that. But, hey, it's working for Georgia. They spread it out. Todd Monken, in an elite, elite offensive coordinator, clearly you don't make that jump to the Ravens unless you're respected for the job you did. But going back to Georgia and what Bobo inherits, he was already there. You look at this, the point in time on the calendar, I mean, who's out there to hire as an offensive coordinator that has his experience, not only coaching, but coaching for Georgia, recruiting Georgia? He's been helping the last year on the national champions. There's not going to be a huge transition to his offense. And I know it's easy to point, Paul, to his failures at Auburn and South Carolina, but I think people that do that are just plain lazy and didn't watch those teams, because last I checked, year one was the highlight of the Brian Harsin era. They controlled their destiny in the West year one when Bobo was the offensive coordinator until everything fell apart. South Carolina, the offense was the strong suit. It was Will Muschamp's defense that got Muschamp fired and ultimately Bobo fired with him. So I don't understand anyone saying Bobo is some disaster. I think I wouldn't call him average. I think he's a little bit better than average. But given the talent Georgia has to work with, I would expect a minimal drop off on that offense.
Michael, before you go, tell us about what happened today with Florida State. There seemed to be uncomfortable trajectory there. SEC fans have always heard that maybe FSU could end up in the SEC, although it looks like it's going to cost more than $100 million, which may or may not be that big of a deal. What's happening? What can you tell us?
Well, Paul, I think with Texas and Oklahoma coming, you know, there was the consternation, when will it happen? Obviously, we know now they're going to come a year early. But I think that has taught us that, you know, you can't just buy your way out of these conferences like some people assume. And I don't blame Florida State for trying to get out of, you know, a conference that is essentially 11 Vanderbilts and Clemson and Florida State. But I also believe, Paul, that the ACC – not necessarily the ACC, but the programs in there, I think they hold the fate of college football, especially because the SEC, outside of maybe the television contracts that the Big Ten gets, the SEC just dwarfs everything in the Big Ten, in my opinion. I mean, the Big Ten's about three solid football programs and maybe, like I said, 11 Vanderbilts in their program as well. But I think how the Big Ten could potentially topple the SEC is getting Florida State, Miami, Clemson, North Carolina. You come into the South, that foothold, that recruiting base. I think that's the only way the Big Ten ever surpasses the SEC. So there may come a time, and Greg Sankey's smart enough to know this, just like he added Texas and Oklahoma when that option came available. I think he's going to have to add some of these ACC programs just so they don't jump ship to the Big Ten.
Great stuff, Michael Bratton. We will see you soon, Michael. Thank you for dropping in with us. And phone calls, your reaction to what Michael said and everything else right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we're back. I appreciate you being here. Pat is in Georgia. Hello, Pat. Welcome.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. Bobo is back, and I think he's better than ever. I was glad that Bobo got promoted off of Mark Rick's OC position, but he's back with Kirby Smart, and I don't think we're going to miss a beat. And I'm glad he's back. That's not why I called. I've been listening off and on this week to your show while we're getting over COVID here, and Augie and you touched on it. Let's assume that, and rightly so, that Alabama has not put its best foot forward. So my question is, okay, what can they do now to deal with it? What's the next thing they can do that is right and correct and can get rid of this saga as you describe it? And I'm not sure that there is anything that they can
Pat,
do.
I really don't think there is. And you know, once the AD put his foot in the water the other day, or wherever he put his foot, I think they were stuck. Because I think at this point it would look very heavy-handed to come in here and use some phony baloney reason to suspend him now when they clearly have absolved him of everything that has gone on. Andre is up next. Hello, Andre.
The one and only Coach Paul Feinbaum.
How are you?
Coach, I'm good. This is a bad look. This is a bad look for the conference. This is a bad look for the University of Alabama. This is just a bad look for human decency. Listen, kick this fool off the team. Anybody tells you to bring a gun to a situation, 99.9% of the time, it's not going to have a good outcome. you got a young lady that lost her life here because of some of this foolishness. You know, when I was a child, you might have had a fist fight, few kids locked up. An hour later, they were playing. This is a different animal now. They should have kicked him off the team. And if the coach wanted him to play, they should have fired the coach. But this looked bad for Alabama. It looks like winning trumps all. And, you know, man, they should have just, even if they'd have just suspended the guy until this thing was sorted out, then you could have reinstated him. But now, you know, like you said, it looks like they're just folding to the whim of the crowd. When they should have done the right thing at first, then they could have always went back and said, you know what, we sorted it out, the guy wasn't involved. But hell, if he bought the gun out there for the guy to use, he should have been kicked off the team, period. No questions asked. But as always, Coach Feinbaum, I enjoy your show. Look, let me ask you one question. What do you think? You think Florida State trying to get in the SEC now, Coach, or give us your opinion?
Yeah, I do. I think Florida State does want in the SEC, and they realize that where they are is a dead-end street. Hey, by the way, Andre, allow me to remind Florida State that in 1990, they could have been in the SEC, but Bobby Bowden didn't want to play that type of schedule.
He didn't want, but you know, Coach, they say money is no talking screen.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, Andre, I think we were losing you at the end, but thank you. Trey is up next.
Hey, Paul. Hope you have a good weekend, and I want to tell Jim, I hope he gets to feeling better. I agree with all of you. He didn't sound very well yesterday. But, Paul, are there any other witnesses to this situation besides the Alabama players and the young lady and the guy that did the shooting? I mean,
you're right by a bunch of bars. I'm pretty sure there are cameras everywhere.
And I guess another thing I would like to ask you, nobody's brought it up. Am I to understand that Brandon Miller had some bullet holes in his car? And if they weren't, did those come from Miles' gun or did they come from another gun? Or I'm just kind of confused on
I'm assuming they were coming from the other individual involved where the altercation began. Thanks for the call. William is up next in Tennessee. Hello, William.
Hey, Paul. Did I hear Mark from Alabama with 2 degrees correctly when he questioned why Miss Harris was out that night?
You did hear him correctly.
Well, Paul, you've known me a long time. I don't get outraged at many things, but merely making that statement and questioning why a 23-year-old young lady was out in Tuscaloosa, you know, with her cousin and boyfriend on a Saturday night, is as inappropriate as anything as I've ever heard. And Mark should be ashamed of himself. And if that's what he learned with his 2 degrees, then he didn't learn much. And, you know, I've never called anybody else out, I don't think, on this show, but that is just outrageous. Now, the question should be, you know, why did Brandon Miller bring the gun? But let me run something else by you, Paul. You know, Alabama University is a big organization. They have to have they should have plans in place for dealing with situations like this. I would be disappointed in their management if Greg Byrne, Nate Oates, their general counsel, or someone from their general counsel's office, someone from their police department, if they weren't in a meeting or at least on a Zoom call, you know, 7 o'clock that Sunday morning to figure out what to do with this. And that's what I don't understand. They had to have had some sort of a crisis management meeting.
It is impossible to think. You've got a prominent team and you're at home. So it's not like, I mean, you played at home the day before. And remember, at this moment in time, you have a basketball player involved in a capital murder.
Exactly.
There. I mean, he was no. Now we want to say Miles is a former. He was a player on the team at that moment.
He was a player.
So If Nate Oates found out about that at 4:47 a.m., Greg Byrne would have been called at 4:48.
Exactly. And there should have been a meeting convened at 5 a.m. or as soon as they could get everybody there to figure out what they knew, what they needed to know. I mean, their campus police or head of safety and security should have been there. Their general counsel's office should have been there. There should have been an all-hands-on-deck meeting to determine, because they had a murder right off of campus involving a student-athlete. And, you know, I don't want to paint Brandon Miller as a good guy or a bad guy. You know, he's a Tennessee kid, so, you know, I don't know anything about his background, you know, but he made a bad judgment. Some people want to, you know, want to throw him in the jail. Some want to suspend him, and some want to pretend he's a choir boy. I don't know where that lands, but Alabama should have had a crisis management team. I mean, you know, there are consultants out there that help with this. They obviously
if you walk through that athletic department or that university, there are plenty of highly paid, competent or not, I couldn't tell you, communication experts.
Yes, yes. You got it. And where were all these people, Paul? Where were they?
I have no earthly idea. And by the way, forget where they were on January 15th. Where were they Tuesday when that athletic department and that university, and I know this will sound like I'm defending the guy, but when they allowed the head coach to go in front of a live microphones without being properly briefed while a hearing about his former player that involved his current star was going on 2 miles away. He really was blindsided, and he answered it, and he looked like he was blindsided because his answer could not have been any more inarticulate.
But, Paul, you've also got to figure that the university had someone in that courtroom monitoring what was going on.
How could you not?
And Nate Oates, didn't he teach in Detroit? Don't you think you learn some street smarts in Detroit?
I think Nate Oates, everyone, you know, wanted to call Nate Oates despicable, say he should be fired. I don't think he intended what he said, William. And I say that I feel comfortable knowing him. I wouldn't be spinning for him if I didn't believe this. I think what we saw after that game Wednesday night was the real guy. He was stumbling around because he didn't really even know what was going on. He was asked about his player. Yeah, of course he knew about it, but I don't know if he was prepared to answer that question publicly, though.
Well, I mean, and the fact that all the, quote, facts are spinning around. I mean, I've always thought Nate Oates was, you know, seemed like a really competent guy and a really good coach and a really decent human being, just from what little I know about him. And I think you're right. I think he was blindsided and was completely
not prepared. And by the way, what did we hear from his boss the other day? His boss essentially said, "Well, Nate Oates didn't handle that very well." And by the way, we have addressed that. How come? I mean, to me, the responsibility is with that athletic department. Correct me if I'm wrong, William. Shouldn't they have made sure that Oates was either briefed or said, "Listen, coach, if you get asked about it, just simply give the predictable answer that every coach gives. I realize this is going on, and I haven't had a chance to get updated on it, and I'll be happy to talk about it as soon as I get some more information." I mean, nobody's going to dispute
that.
Well,
of course, I think his first comment should have been, "Our condolences go out to Ms. Harris." But
he's already said again. That. I mean, I agree, but yeah, you can never go wrong. Being empathetic. Hey, thanks, William. We're up against a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back here. It is a Friday afternoon, and let's check in next with Darren in Alabama. Hello, Darren.
Hi, Paul. We spoke on Tuesday kind of when kind of some of this stuff come out. And first of all, I want to tell you, you've had a tough week, my friend, and I really feel for you.
Thank you.
But the fact of the matter is, I mean, you know, kind of what you said from the very get-go when all this kind of stuff broke, you know, a few days ago. You know, all this is what it is, but it's going to be a more civil thing for the individual player when he moves on and does whatever he does. But if you get to, if you think about facts is what we know is facts, but we don't really know the real facts. But I totally believe that had they were able to prosecute him just like they have the other two and put him in jail, they would have already done that. Now, whether the university did the right thing and stuff, well, we all have opinions, and you know the old saying, and it's just like saying assume. However, I do feel they let it down, you know. But the University of Alabama is like any big institution. They have their advisors, their people they pay to advise them and things like that. But everybody's missing all that. They're going after the kid. They're saying, oh, he should have been this, he should have that. And, you know, we don't know everything. Only the police and the DA, the lawyers, prosecution, they're the only people that know anything, really. And this ain't going away, like you've said numerous times this week. And, you know, this is going to drag out a long time. And in the end, we'll find out. I mean, if people really want to find out, you know, I hate what happened, but there's more to this. But I think if they were going to suspend him, they would have, well, should have already done. If they could have prosecuted the student athlete, they would have, like they have the other two individuals that are sitting in the jail and they're up for capital murder. So I think people are missing the point on this. I mean, other than the fact that everybody feels for the family and the tragedy that happened. But, I mean, you know, what else can you say or do about it? I mean, I know it's great for your show. It's not really great for student athletics and any university. But, I mean, where do you sit with this, Paul? I mean, listen, I know you've had all those questions, and I ain't trying to put you on the spot, man. I think you... This is probably one of your toughest weeks in a long, long time.
Darren, I appreciate you saying, but I don't think you can, you know, go ex post facto here, because as you laid out, the train is gone, and I do think this story will ebb and flow, and I don't think there's a whole lot more. Thank you for the call. I don't think there's a whole lot more that we can add to it. We're going to Tuscaloosa a little bit later and get a perspective from there, from somebody who has been in court, who has covered the hearings and has some very strong opinions on the rush to judgment around the country. But ultimately, the front part of the case, the front part of the story was when something by the university could have been done, and I don't think they can do anything else. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it very, very much. Trey is in Arkansas. Hey, Trey, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. I was wanting to give some really bold predictions. And I think you're going to call me crazy on them. I'm saying Arkansas wins basketball national championship. It's flowing good right now, and I'm going to say that. And then Arkansas is going to have some big things in football. I think KJ Jefferson will be... will be in New York next year, and he'll be first team All-SEC preseason, and we will go 11-1.
Okay. Well, Trey, thank you. I love a upbeat fan. Your basketball prediction is intriguing, and I'm not laughing at it because I think Arkansas is playing extremely well. They have everybody back. I think they have one of the most dangerous March coaches in the country. Coach Muss, thank you very, very much. Matt.
Hey, brother, how you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? I heard some news you might find interesting. You might have heard it yesterday. Jack Ledbetter for Texas A&M and Blackhead for Texas. But T.C. Barnes said he's due to that fact. When they agreed to play at Kyle Field in 2024, I want your thoughts on that. And what do you think of our basketball team, man? I'm impressed. I think we can win a title in basketball. I want your thoughts on it. How is this
going to
be like in
2024? Yeah, Matt, I think Buzz is a great basketball coach. And what you're talking about is Ross Bjork, the athletic director at A&M, is quoted as saying that the first Texas A&M Texas game will be at Kyle Field. We had the writer for The Athletic on yesterday who wrote about that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. And Louie is in Arkansas. Hey, Louie, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I'm not going to ask you how you're doing, but I want to tell you a little short story, and then I have a couple of things I want to talk about. An old boy, he's at home. Alarm goes off. He gets up out of bed. He goes outside to feed the dog and steps on the dog's tail. The dog turns around and bites him. The guy goes back inside the house. His wife's handing him coffee and spills on his arm. It's hot. And it falls and breaks. And then he goes into work, and the first thing that happens, his boss comes in. He says, hey, you didn't fill out these reports, you know, and it was just all downhill all day. He gets in from work. He goes inside and sits down and watches TV for a little bit. About 10 minutes later, he hears a knock on the door. He opens the door, and it's his tail end dragging in. So I'm thinking that's probably how you're feeling over this week.
Well, listen, Louie, anyway. This is what I do, and I love doing it, so I appreciate all the kind words, but we're doing great here. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who are not as a result of this absolute tragedy. You be well. You take care of yourself. Bobby is in Oxford. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Paul. Well, it's been interesting. Can you hear me okay?
Because, yes, I can. You sound great.
Okay. I had two quick questions, and obviously I'm an Ole Miss alum and fan, but you had a caller on a couple of days ago that made a really good point, and I haven't seen it addressed on any other of the ESPN shows, and they try to address everything outside of Sun, but he made the point that, you know, even if the Alabama star player or whatever isn't guilty or, you know, it should have been benched and, you know, wait till the investigation turns out. But he made the point that he violated the student rule of conduct on multiple issues. And, you know, if you're just Joe Schmuck, you know, then they pull that card. But if you're somebody else, then they don't pull that card. And I wanted your thoughts on that. And then finally, Ole Miss fired their basketball coach, which I'm sure you know. And I just wanted to see if you knew anybody that may be.
Yeah, Bobby, on the second part, Kermit Davis was let go today. There's a lot of names being mentioned. Probably the most interesting name was Chris Beard, who, remember, was at Texas. Took his team a couple of years ago to the championship game. Then he got hired at Texas, had the team number one in the country, and then he got fired in this rather ugly domestic issue where he was arrested, I think he was arrested, and then his fiance dropped the charges. I think it's a real opportunity for Ole Miss to bring in a big name coach, someone who can advance the program, which it needs. It really has gone nowhere recently. We'll take a short break. We are coming back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We continue, and AJ is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum, happy Friday. Happy Hello. Friday. I want to do a B&W for the week. If you don't mind.
No.
I'd like to. I think that Dustin, one of the best of the week. I've got two. Best of the week was Dustin calling, breaking up the morale for the week. I literally busted out laughing driving down the road listening about him dating my sister, but and he was asking you for the advice. about what to do. But unfortunately, my my brother is a non-binary that identifies as a woman, so that may be why he's having such a hard time with it. But no, another the best of the week, though, Paul, is how you've proven how you are the GOAT of all GOATs. I mean, the lawyers need to quit calling in on Friday today, okay? Because we know lawyers don't work on Friday, Paul. And you have literally sliced and diced this debacle in Tuscaloosa up so many and answered hundreds and hundreds of questions and possible. I mean, Paul, you've literally proven yourself over and over again all week. You've done, I mean, you are absolutely the best in sports talk show. I mean, it doesn't get any better.
AJ, you're going to force me to like you again.
I'm not. Hey, listen, just hang on a minute. I'm being dead serious. You know, I've kind of conned you around about the money you make and all. You know, but you deserve to be where you're at, my brother.
Thank you.
And I have to tip my black hat to you today, 100%. There's not one person that has been hammered with questions. You spent 20 hours on your show this week and just boom, 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 boom. You've got to answer for everything or a possible or a, I just don't know. But what if? And, I mean, you've done a great job, Paul, this week. Absolute great job. I mean, I just have to commend you. And I want to challenge the Feinbaum Nation for the next 2 hours. Let's leave this man alone. He's already proved and said all he can say. There's nothing more he can add to it. So everybody put your lawyer books up and everybody put your detective books up and let this man have the next 2 hours of fun. That's what this show's about. It's about fun. And that's all I really got to say today, Paul.
Well, thank you very much, AJ. We appreciate it. We will... We were. Snake is up next. Hello, Snake.
Hey, Paul. Hey, that's the best call AJ's ever made right there. But I just wanted to kind of mirror off of an earlier call that was it William from Tennessee? I think was his name. But
yeah,
anyway,
William. That is correct.
Yeah, man. Paul, I've been watching you on television, reading your articles, and listening to you for over 30 years. And that Mark from Alabama, that was the most disrespectful question I've ever heard anybody ever ask you on your show. And I wish these idiots would, I hate to be like a Jim and call names, I wish these idiots would quit calling in. And with facts that aren't facts, and I mean, it's just, it makes me want to pull my hair out, damn it, Paul.
Well, Snake, thank you for saying that. It was a disgraceful call. And a lot of people have said to me, why don't you be more outraged? And to me, it really it didn't dignify that. It was in such poor taste about a woman who has lost her life that I just didn't.
Oh my God!
I didn't think I would dignify it by even raising mine or anybody else's blood pressure. Snake, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. Lee is up next in Cincinnati. Hello, Lee.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
And I need your opinion. I need help be talked off the ledge. Because, you know, 17 years ago, the team that won the national championship in both football and basketball was the Florida Gators, okay? But since that time, they become both the football program and the basketball program have become two of the biggest pieces of trash on the compost pile, unfortunately. And so what I want to ask you is, do you see either program ever making it back to national prominence? And if so, which one will be first and how long is it going to take?
Yeah, Lee, I think the basketball program does have a chance ultimately to make its way back. Obviously, its best player is hurt, and this season is not going anywhere. But I think the football question is impossible to answer. And the negativity about Napier's program continues to rise. We've talked about it, and I think it's going to take longer than we thought. But at some point, how much patience will the Gator Nation have? We're up against a break. We still have a couple hours to go. We are coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.